Branson, tell me you can hear me.
I can hear you.
Awesome, man. Well, I'm going to welcome you to everyone. This is Branson. He is a real estate investor out of Kansas City, Missouri.
Yes, sir.
How you doing, buddy?
Dude, doing well. Thanks for having me on. And yeah, just excited to share my journey, my story, my ups and downs, and provide that raw content, no BS. And
that's what it's all about, man.
Help people get to, you know, where I am and further. I mean, that's the goal, right?
Yep, absolutely. So let's start. Let's kind of just start with growing up. What was your kind of like high school years like, and then after?
Yeah, man. You know, great question. So, high school. You know. For me, like I was very social. I was always like really street smart. I knew I could get good grades in the classes that I was interested in.
Yep.
But ultimately, I was never just like, I didn't really care about the grades I got, just because I was like, what's it going to amount to? I was like, you know what? Honestly, like, jobs only really look at your college, you know, GPA. So I was like, I'll just get into a good college and then I'll focus on that then if I ever want to do that. Long story short, I, you know, got average grades in high school and I just kind of skated by, focused on sports and, you know, honestly just like partying and, you know, being social and stuff like that. But I definitely learned that, I was intelligent enough to get by.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't have to try that hard. So in like certain classes, like I was super interested in history, and like economic classes, and like we took like a week in one of our classes and we did like actually traded stocks, and whoever like got the best like portfolio at the end of the week like got like a better grade stuff. So that was super interesting. I did really well in that.
That's interesting for like, I mean, I wouldn't just yeah, I don't know many schools that do that. Even in LA, we have like, you know, some of our schools are pretty interesting just on like how they teach, but that's awesome.
Yeah.
Man.
We had a personal finance class and it's kind of crazy. We read like Rich Dad, Poor Dad, which is like, obviously most people know. If you don't know, you're listening, it's like the staple. It's kind of like the Bible of like real estate almost. It's kind of the gateway drug book into the vast expanse of real estate investing and the mindset shift.
Right.
That's really what it is. It's a huge mindset shift. And so we read that book. It was funny because like that book, like I didn't have the context in high school to really put the pieces together of like, oh, okay, real estate, you know, like it's different than passive income and being an investor is different than a 9-to-5 job. But yeah, so in high school, basically like didn't try that hard. After high school, I basically just worked a couple jobs and basically took care of my family. My father passed when I was 10 years old.
I didn't know
that.
I had
to take care of. Yeah, man. He passed when I was 10 years old. And my mom.
Are you the oldest?
I am the oldest. So I think a lot of it, to just kind of, you know, briefly answer that first question about me in high school, is just like a lot of it were for me when I got out of high school, I had to take care of my family. You know, I could have gone to a major university and just partied and been in a frat. And I was just like, dude, that's just like, I'm going to feel empty for the rest of my life if I leave my brothers, leave my mom, and just let them fend for themselves, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that, you know, like, first of all, I know I believe in God. And, like, I feel like he used the good intention of my heart to lead me in the path that I am in today. And so that was, like, me taking care of my family and just freaking growing up and being a man and, you know, being the head of the household in a lot of ways. So I worked a couple jobs. My mom went back to nursing school. She really started nursing school, but she went back to school and got her nursing degree. And so for like 3 years, I just worked and kind of just, you know, freaking did the dishes and
my girlfriend's going to do
the laundry
right now. She, she wants to do it for like cosmetic, face sort of like you have to get your you have to pass your nursing license, in order to do that. And from what she's told me, the little she's told me about it, it's a lot of work actually.
It is, dude.
Yeah.
It's no joke, man.
Yeah.
People, my, one of my best friends, I was a groomsman at his wedding, his wife, she went, tried to like apply to nursing school and she could never like get the grades or like the, to pass the even like nursing test and stuff, dude. It's like no joke, man.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's pretty. It's got a lot of similarities to medical school, essentially.
Yeah, it's like it's not. It's like the medical field, but not on steroids, like medical school is. Right, but you get a good dose, man. It's you know, it's not easy. Definitely not easy.
Got it. So now your mom's in school and you're helping support basically while she's in school.
Yes, that's correct. That's where I'm at on that stage of my journey. And basically I go work for a fine dining restaurant. And it's a Brazilian steakhouse. A lot of people know it. It's called Fogo de Chao. And
we have one here.
Oh yeah, dude. They're all over, man. They're awesome. Yeah. So, but I really believe, man, in whatever you're doing, regardless of like, if you know, there's a lot of people that are going to listen to this and they may not know where they want to be or what they're passionate about or what their why is or all those things. I would say, don't worry about that. Focus on what are you doing right now that you can just like grow and grind and master. So it doesn't matter if you're a freaking busboy or if you're a barista.
Dude, we agree on that. Like that's, I can't stress that enough how much I subscribe to that mindset. And that's so important. I'm glad you made a big deal to say that.
Yeah, man. And I'm like, so for me, so I go to Fogo de Chao and I apply. And at first it was so funny because I applied to like, honestly, just be like a busboy or like they call it a server assistant where you're just kind of like doing a bunch of different tasks. But I had really good interviews. Like for something, there's something about me, like I like a little bit of pressure. Like sometimes too much is not a lot, but I like enough pressure to where it's like, okay, it's do or die.
Yeah, and me too.
I go in these interviews and I'm just like, not being BS. And I'm like, they're like, you know, it's a huge wine sales, like do tons of wine sales. You have clients paying $60 just a plate to sit down and they're all ordering $150 bottles of wine and $50 glasses like scotch and cognac and all sorts of different stuff. So, you know, very nice high-end restaurant. And I was 20 years old at the time when I'm applying for this job. I couldn't even legally drink.
Right.
And he's like, so have you done like, you know, like wine sales? Or what do you know about alcohol? I said, to be honest, sir, like, I don't know anything about alcohol, but I'll tell you this. I promise you this. I will work harder than anyone you have on the staff. And once I am able to like, you know, taste and like, you know, actually gain that experiential knowledge, not just book knowledge, the experiential knowledge of like wine and alcohol is like, I promise you all, you know, I'll shock you. You know, I was like, you know, like bet on me kind of person, you know, and you
working
know, a lot
class
of, I'm
hero.
Sure, and I was like, you know, a lot of people hire on attitude. I wanted to show him my attitude, you know, in that interview. And then obviously I had to back it up with the day-to-day tasks. So, that's what dude, he actually, I was applying for like being a straight up busboy. And they hired me on as an entry-level server, dude. And then a year later, I got promoted to a corporate trainer. And I was traveling across the country training people. When I was 21 years old, training people that were like in their mid-30s or their early 30s.
And that's fast for a corporate restaurant like that.
Yeah, dude. But here's the thing, dude. I just loved the grind. Like I would like turn up the music on a Saturday night. It's a booked restaurant. You got reservations out the door. And then like, I'm training someone on the busiest night and they have like no experience. And that's what they do. They throw you in the fire because I got thrown in the fire when I was got there. And so, it was do or die. And you had managers were always on you every table spending like freaking $500 and you're just, you know, and so I think that really helped me propel to understanding attention to detail, which it obviously translates into marketing, like in your, you know, in your side or branding. And for me on the real estate investing side,
I honestly think that people that succeed the most are people that can actually pay attention to detail. I think that's like a thing that people don't talk about enough. That is a trait, a characteristic that people have that really actually is a huge part of their success.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that, you know, just to kind of expand on that, I think that each person, this has been a really big for me. I've been reflecting a lot on lately. Each person creates their own definition of normal.
Yeah.
You know, and I was creating my own definition of normal, which was my attitude, my work ethic, my persona, how I handle situations, how I handle clients that are upset, you know, conflict resolution and even applying for that job to, you know, go to, you know, be a corporate trainer. And I was getting flown out to like Austin, Texas and Denver, Colorado. And I was going to actually go to LA at one point when they actually opened up that location.
Oh, that's funny. It just
didn't work out. But anyways, yeah, man. So do that. And then I had to make a decision. Do I want to work in a restaurant and be a manager and be like a manager by the time I'm 23, 24, or at least kind of like a, maybe assistant manager, but I'd be making like 120, 140K a year, but to just no freedom, no holidays, constant, you know, stress, pressure, you know, guests, regional managers coming in, you know, you're taking care of millionaires all the time at their tables and they're upset about, you know, like, and I was just like, do I want all of this stress and all this pressure for 140K a year and no holidays, man? You're talking no time with your family, no time to date, no time to build any social life. You're talking like literally you're basically just selling your soul for money.
And which could be right. But that could be understandable more, I think, if it was like you were building your own thing, right? If you're going to give something that much time and
oh yeah.
Right. So
there's a freedom that. And you're creating freedom when you're building your own thing. Exactly. Like that's like the thing. And so it's like, if I go build Fogo de Chao and I make my restaurant the best restaurant in the country or in the nation or, you know, or the world,
well, you work 7 days a week and you would feel good about it. Cause if it's your restaurant, but it's not.
Exactly. It's exactly. And so, and then even you have control. Right. Like when you work for a company, like, well, what if they cut my salary in half, which they actually ended up doing. And that's why I actually didn't end up going. A big conglomerate bought out the original owners of Fogo de Chao. And then they just cut all the salaries, cut all the trainers, like all everything. And I was like, dude, there's no way I'm trying to move up now.
Right.
You know? And so I have no problem grinding and living a life of harmony where you are fulfilled, because money's not everything, but it is important if you want to have freedom. And I don't mind you doing that if it's something that's going to lead to freedom.
Yeah.
That's it. You know, that's it. But if it's not, like, I would just say, and I don't want to, I think that in even entrepreneurial society or like, you know, our group or collective, we kind of knock people on 9-to-5 jobs. I don't either. Respect them.
100%.
Like, you know, I respect them. And I think that everyone should have multiple streams of income, regardless of what any sphere. It's just logical. It's just
most
logical.
People, if you here's wanna... the thing. Most people would not. Most people fail at starting a business, not because they don't know how to start a business, but it's because they don't have work ethic from having those 9-to-5 jobs in the past.
Yeah, that's true. Yep.
And I think that it's funny because a lot of people that knock it are trying to come up. They haven't yet, but they're going to struggle because they don't have that kind of work ethic, and there's something to be said about that.
Yeah, no, definitely, absolutely. And I think it's hard to flip a switch when you're used to be like 9-to-5 and your manager's like, oh, it just follows up you twice a week, and it's different. And then you're full time for yourself. It's like, well, you got to crack the whip on yourself, you got to be self-disciplined, you know, all those aspects. And so yeah, long story short, then I leave Fogo de Chao, and at this time I have been basically looking into real estate. And I had actually it was my mom's friend. My mom had been friends with for years. She was a realtor, and she told me, hey, come on to my team. I'll sponsor you and like pay for you to get your license. And, you know, you can start basically doing like administrative tasks. And I learned really quickly. And I think everyone that, you know, that's listening, like you have to be very self-aware in every stage of your journey. And like, that was good for me to like get my license. And it was also like so difficult because what happened was I went on her team, which is a sales team, basically, right? She's the head realtor. So then she like, you just are doing like paperwork for her and you're doing like open houses and showings that she doesn't want to do. And you have a reduced commission, all that kind of stuff. Right.
Right.
So I'm on her team, bro. And I'm like just in the office with her doing nothing. I'm doing nothing productive. I'm like, I'm just there with her. And I'm like a stallion. I want a stallion. I need to get out there like make mistakes, like run through walls. Like, you know, Facebook's like motto back in the day was move fast and break things. I need to move fast and just like and fall, fail forward. And that's how I know I'm going to learn. But they weren't even letting me make mistakes because like, you know. So anyways, dude, for 2 months I was on their team. It was like so difficult for me to just sit in the office and like, just sit there and just do, dude, I was so hard. It was so hard. So learned a lot about myself. Like, I would say, like, dude, self-reflection, journaling, learn about yourself, write down like anything that you maybe have made a mistake in today or something that was really, you need to process about and reflect on maybe at the end of the week in a more deep way and make improvements and study yourself, man, study yourself. Like, you're studying for like the biggest exam of your life. That's something I've been reflecting on a lot lately. And I think that I wish I would have studied myself better in these different seasons so I could learn the lessons faster.
Yeah.
You know, and it would have been more meaningful to me today.
Yeah, but you might not have been ready then. And that's probably, you know, you weren't in a place where you were probably open enough to even go there.
Right, exactly. And so get on her sales team. And at this point, before then, I had met a guy named Cody Purcell. He's my mentor. I give him a substantial amount of credit for everything that I've been able, you know, to acquire and build in my life. And I think that a lot of people honestly just don't take time to acknowledge the mentors or the sages that have shown them the way, that have,
for sure,
you know, given them the wisdom or even like bet on them, you know? So, dude, I would meet Noah, this guy, at 4 a.m. at Waffle House just to listen to him talk about real estate. And he was generous enough to meet me at 4 a.m. He would drive, dude, 30 minutes out of the way to meet me. I'd meet him there, and we just talk about anything, you know? And I love it, too. Like, I grew up without a father, and I just wanted to be, you know, like, have a kind of, like, just a male figure in my life. And he was about 12 to 4. I think he's 12 years older than me. So we just process. I talk with him, and, you know, and basically, long story short, he's like, hey, man, you know, if you want to come down with me in the neighborhoods we're in and learn and, you know, work for free, you know, you can hang out in our meetings. You can interact with our tenants. You can go to our deals. You can whatever. You just got to come and work for us. I said, okay, sweet. So for 6 months, very first day on the job, I went and took out a toilet. I had these white shorts and I had this like wife beater on. It was 90 degrees, middle of July. It's like you're just wearing two layers of sweat because of the humidity. And I went and changed out a toilet, and the plumber like is eating. It's just such a stereotypical thing. I wish I had a vlog, man. Like, it's such a stereotypical. Like, the plumber had like a McDouble, and he like set it on top of the toilet, changed something out.
Oh my god!
Kept eating it. It was like, it was hilarious. And I was like, what did I sign up for? And I just like freaking grabbed that toilet, took it to the truck, and like that was like day one. You know, I did roofing work. I put in linoleum floors, and this is all while I was still working at Fogo de Chao. But I cut my hours back at Fogo de Chao so I could work for them part time. And
he wanted you to start? He wanted you to start kind of learning the like ground up, like the restaurant did.
Yeah. So the thing about him and his partner, they had about 40 or 50 properties, and they just had like formed a legit LLC in partnership, and they didn't have any money to pay me. Like, that was just straight up it. Like, they just said, you're not skilled enough
right
at contracting work for us to pay you, but you know, you can learn from us and hang out with us and blah, 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 you know, you'll teach you stuff. I said, oh, I don't care. Like, I'll whatever it takes to learn. And I think if, you know, for all those who are listening, like, if you can go somewhere and get paid to learn, go do it. Like,
not get paid to learn.
Yeah. Like just learn.
Like, if you can go somewhere and like, yeah, it's, yeah, exactly.
And so, yeah. And that's, you know, that's what I did. And yeah, so basically they just couldn't afford to pay me. And I was like, I don't care. Like, that's fine. So for 6 months I did that. And then, that's actually after that, I went and got my real estate license, hated it being on that sales team. They actually ended up calling me. They kept growing like over that next, like, you know, 3 to 6 months period when I was on the sales team and doing all sorts of stuff. They called me. I remember, I'll never forget it. I was like actually with my buddies playing golf. I knew it was so funny because they're like, hey man, can you come to the office tomorrow? We want to talk to you. Like, we want to hang. Like, and I was like, you know, like that's the call. Like, you know, when you get that call, like that's the call. So they're just like, hey man, like we can't pay you much, but we'll pay you a little bit. And we want you to learn like, you know, property management and, you know, handling evictions and handling rent and handling tenants and handling the accounting and handling, you know, maintenance requests and, you know, analyzing deals and you know, building relationships with investors. And they basically said, we'll help you build your portfolio, come and work for us part-time. Once we have enough properties, like you know, you help us, we'll help you. And once we build up our portfolios enough, we can help you build yours up, and then you can come on with us full time. And after a year of doing that, I was able to come on full time with them. And then I was the director of operations for the entire company, which is handling, you know, $68,000 a month of, you know, revenue coming in and coming out, just on the management side, not including the other $100,000 in rent coming in every month. And while I was doing that, it was awesome because I had a lot of freedom to go and like check out properties or go meet with a seller or go meet with an investor or go to lunch. Like there was just a lot of trust, you know, because I was,
right,
you know, and so that was really good for me because it was hard because I was like, oh, I want to do my own thing. But I was like, oh, but this is such a good learning experience that I'm going to have to take with me for the rest of my life. So yeah, man. Then I worked for that company for a couple years and I grew, from basically 0 to 30 properties over the last 3 years. And there's a lot in that. Yeah, so I worked for them a couple of years. They actually, the business partners ended up splitting because one of them didn't want to manage properties anymore and the other one did. And they ended up splitting, which, you know, that's okay. That's cool. Once they ended up splitting, they couldn't afford to pay me anymore. I actually, and because they had to liquidate and get all legal stuff figured out. So I actually went, you know, chilled. And then I actually made one of the biggest mistakes, you know, financially, and I invested in Bitcoin and put like 50K in it. When it was at like 4,600, watched it go up to like 18K, which I would have made hundreds of thousands of dollars, but ended up getting stuck in these other coins. Oh. Yeah, I would have made hundreds of thousands of dollars, but I ended up getting it stuck in these other just like fad coins.
Yep.
And it was hard for me because like I didn't jump on. I was born in this weird era where like social media wasn't like monetizable. No one really knew what it was. So like, it wasn't like a big deal when I was in high school. It was kind of like a thing, but it wasn't a big deal.
We didn't even have it when I was in high school. Like Facebook, I didn't have until like MySpace maybe, mm-hmm. but most likely not.
Yeah. And so like, I was like, okay, I was born in this weird era where like social media, I didn't really like catch the wave or the roller coaster up. You know, obviously the .com, that was like 10 years, that was like so long ago. Like the internet missed that, like all these revolutionary things. And so I was like, man, this is the thing, like this is the revolutionary thing I'm gonna like jump on the coattails of. And I just got caught up in the hype, you know, I just got caught up in the hype.
Yeah.
And it was a really good.
A lot of people did actually. Yeah. Like, if you're talking about like 4 years ago, right? Or like 3 years
ago?
Yeah,
about 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like a lot of people did. People, like, it was, people were buying it, like all those random coins, like crazy.
Yeah, dude. And, dude, the thing was, I mean, I was day trading and I was making thousands of dollars a day. Dude, I remember one day I made $10,000 in a day. I was like, I'm a G.
So you were day trading crypto?
Yeah, man. I was.
So you'd buy it and then sell quick.
Yeah, I mean, like there was a couple days where I made like a Bitcoin or two Bitcoin in a day, you know, like,
wow,
you know, so like I was experiencing the rush and the adrenaline and like a little bit of success, but I didn't have. First of all, I think you need a massive amount of like character and integrity to be able to handle massive amounts of wealth. You know, you just in order to over a sustained period of time. You know,
yeah, think in that, I don't think there's ever been anything actually like Bitcoin in the sense that you could, unless you're where a coin could go up so much in like an hour, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and oh, totally.
I think that was very attractive to people because, like, yeah, it was a gamble, but like, there's nothing really like that. You can't even stocks go up, but you have to have a huge amount of stock in order to make mm-hmm. money quickly on a stock, you know?
Yeah.
And with Bitcoin, it's like you could buy even some small things like very cheap for pennies, like a coin, and then they could go to like $5 a coin. And like, if you bought a lot, like you could make a ton of cash back then.
Dude, it was actually nuts. And so like, yeah, man, like that was basically, you know, the thing that I got caught up in. And it was weird because I was in such a good spot, man. I had a lot of cash in the bank. I think at the time I had like 11 or 12 rentals. They were all rented. I just like got out of like, you know, like I was working really, really hard for my mentor and his partner. And I was like, sweet, man, like I got 12 rentals. I got some cash in the bank. I got options now. Like, you know, like I know yeah. I had no, like really no debt. Yeah. And so, that's when I had to decide, like, is, you know, after that happened, dude, I definitely got hit with just a wave of just like, you know, discouragement, just depression, reflection on like, man, like, am I cut out? All the things that entrepreneurs really honestly go through, but they're not really, I don't know, maybe they're not honest or vulnerable enough to admit that, like, you get hit with waves of like, just highs and lows where you're like, man, I'm like, I'm a freaking rock star. Like, dude, I'm, you know, on the whatever. But then there's those days like, man, like, can I do this? Am I cut out for this? How am I going to do this? And, dude, it was hard, man. It was hard. I was, you know, I was like freaking 24 years old and I had a good amount of success in real estate. And now I'm like, man, I just took such a huge step back. But the more I looked at every successful entrepreneur, they actually had done the similar thing that I'd done, you know, and they had taken action, taken risk, and they were able to go build multiple businesses and fail forward. And so, it was awesome, man. I didn't have to sell any of my properties. I just started marketing like crazy and, doing more deals and, scaled up to where I'm at today.
And people can basically do what you do without, just for people listening, without a real estate license, right?
Yeah, 100%. You do not need a real estate license. The only one that I know, state-wise, that has said you have to have, like, you know, a real estate license to wholesale, which I can explain what wholesaling is Illinois, and they just passed that law like 6 months ago. So,
but do you need a brokerage license?
No.
Got it.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
Okay.
Yes, you do not. You do not.
Why don't you explain what wholesaling real estate is? I think that's something that I really don't think many people understand it, know what it is, or like how sort of practical it can be.
Yeah, I think that, you know, yeah, great question, Noah. So I think it's there's a lot of like mystique about it, or like, you know, like, I don't know, stigma, but ultimately it's, you know, straightforward. You know, you, what you can do is you find a person that has a property they want to sell. It doesn't matter, you know, anywhere in the country. And, you know, let's say that they have a property they're willing to sell for $100,000. You can then, you know, and you get that under contract, you know, and you have a contract with them that you can, that you're going to buy it for $100,000. Well, what you can do is then find a investor, right? Someone else that wants that property. Mm-hmm. And essentially you can mark that,
make a profit.
Yep, you can mark that property up to say $110,000. And that
it's basically drop shipping for real estate.
Yeah. It's margin.
It's the same thing.
Yeah. It's just a margin, right? So get under contract for $100,000. You mark it out to $110,000 to an end buyer, and then the end buyer pays for the house $110,000. The seller gets $100,000, and you keep that anything in the middle. So that $10,000, it goes to you in the middle. So you set up the deal, and then you collect whatever spread you can negotiate in the middle. So yeah,
is there a time crunch? Because Do people often like want a limit on the time that they let you have to buy the property?
Yeah, and just so people can understand, like, a lot of people aren't going to sell their house for a discount to where an investor is going to buy it. So you have to negotiate that in, right? So so there is, to answer your question, a lot of people do want to sell quickly, right? So the time is of the essence. They're not just going to be like, oh, okay, yeah, here, take as long as you want, 3 months, six
sit
months.
On it for a year. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
So, you know, each situation is unique, but mostly they probably want to sell within 21 days. That's typically what I tell people. I say, hey, listen, if I get your property under contract, I try to get 21 days. If they want sooner, I can get them sooner, but I tell them like, okay, well, I need a discount on the price to move this property accordingly. You know, like, if you want like a certain close date and all that kind of stuff, you know, then we need to, I do that. I try to give myself as much time, but it's just a case by case thing. Some people are like, no, you only got 7 days. I'm like, okay, that's fine. If I feel like I can find that buyer, Noah, in 7 days and I can make 30K profit, I don't care if it's 7 days or 3 days, as long as I know the deal is good enough. Right. So,
So it's like, it's arbitrage. It's like middleman.
Yes. Yeah. Literally middleman, arbitrage. You know, it is that simple. I don't want anyone else to complicate it. It is, you get a property in a contract. Yeah. There's like, anyone can do it. Like, no, you don't need a real estate license. This isn't hype. You know, this is real everyday stuff. I do it all the time. There's people that do it all across the country. So yeah, that's what wholesaling is.
I love that. Is that where you get most of your capital for investing?
Yeah, great question. So the way I built my portfolios was using like very little money down. And I can explain like what owner finance is a little bit later. But yeah, like basically I use wholesaling to fund my property acquisitions. Like, so I use wholesaling to grow my portfolio because, you know, whoever all those who are listening, like, you know, you need to buy real estate and wait. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you had 100 properties in Los Angeles 30 years ago, I mean, you'd be like, geez Louise, you'd have $100 million because every property in Los Angeles is at least $1 million, you know?
Absolutely.
You know, so it's about cash flow. It's about appreciation. It's about time. And, you know, so I use all my cash I'm investing in my portfolio because I know that if I'm buying properties, they're just going to keep going up in value every year, every day. So, that's my goal. Yeah. The wholesaling is to make profit to then fund deals in self-storage, apartment complexes, you know, trailer parks, everything, like everything that, you know, anything that cash flows and is going to make long-term, you know, financial sense.
Got it. So if you were to say the most important thing, like if someone said, I want to get into what you do, what would you tell them?
Yeah.
First,
I always tell people, like, first of all, get educated, you know, shoot me a DM. I'm about to actually release a course to help people with this exact question, because I think there's a lot of people out there that actually have the grit and determination to take action in real estate, but they don't know where to start, you know, or they just really want someone that's done it, been there, and that's in my generation and my age, right? Like there's a lot of 20-year-olds or a lot of younger people, or maybe people in their, like, you know, 30s, early 40s, they're like, they want someone that's, I mean, I've done the property management. I've done it. I'm not like, oh, I'm just some hotshot. Yeah. I've been in the grind running different companies. And so I would say the best place to start is obviously get knowledge. If you can get your real estate license, Noah, I recommend getting it. Like, it doesn't hurt to have it. You can still do wholesaling while you have your real estate license. Right. And I can walk through all those legalities and stuff like that. So do get it. If you want to be involved in real estate, it doesn't hurt to have it. So that's something I would say too, get your real estate license, because that helps with pulling comparable property sales, right? It helps with, if you ever,
comps.
Yep, comps, exactly. It helps with listing your houses if you ever want to flip them, right? If you're going to come across some wholesale deals that you want to keep to yourself. And that's the best part about wholesaling, guys. Like, you market to people that want to sell their house. And if you don't want to sell it to someone else, you don't gotta. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you want to keep it at a steal of a deal, you keep the rest, you wholesale, you keep the best, wholesale the rest, you know?
Yeah, you know, exactly.
And so, so if you were looking to get started, you know, you're like, okay, Brent, where do I start? I'd say, you know, I'd say if you're really serious, get your real estate license. Secondly, I would, you know, begin to learn about like online marketing, you know, and learn about how to reach motivated sellers, how to pull lists on county records, because you want to go directly to the seller. I'd say get on BiggerPockets. It's a great resource. You know, I'd say reach out, you know, once again, follow me on my Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, everything that I got going on. And any resources that I can help anyone with, I'd love to. So, getting on BiggerPockets is super helpful. It's tons and tons of information. It's like basically a real estate social network.
I think wholesale to invest, I just thought of it for your course, would actually be a really interesting, very smart course to create, which is basically teaching how to wholesale property and do what you did into then investing that money into property.
Yeah.
because I think people's biggest problem from just reading comments and like watching people, I think with real estate, they don't have a clue how to get that capital. And it sounds like you figured out a really good formula that also keeps you in the industry learning while you're doing it.
And a huge part of it too, Noah, is like private money, which is like a whole nother podcast in and of itself. Yeah. Like everyone's got a rich uncle. You know, like I always like to say that most people, I mean, not, unfortunately not everyone, but my point is everyone can find a rich uncle. You can be adopted into a family with a rich uncle or have a mentor that has, you know, a good amount of money. And what you want to do is if you don't have the capital, you can do so much real estate transactions with no money. It's incredible. I've done so many deals with zero of my own money. It's like creating money out of thin air. You think the stimulus package is creating money? No, guys. People have been creating billions of dollars for real estate out of thin air for forever, you know? And so private money, hard money, utilizing other people's money to acquire real estate. And then after you acquire the real estate, you fix it up, you sell it, or you refinance it. And I mean, guys, like it's incredible. It's such a powerful tool. So if you wanted to get started, I would definitely get on BiggerPockets, get your real estate license, get educated on wholesaling. You know, I'll be eventually having a course I'll be able to release. Wholesale to invest. A lot of people don't know how to actually turn that, you know, wholesaling actually and get capital to wholesale. So you guys, there's so many cheap ways to be more direct. There's so many quick and easy ways to wholesale. You don't need a lot of money. You don't. If you want to start a wholesaling business, that's a whole different thing. But if you want to make like do a couple deals every, you know, like couple months or whatever, you don't need a huge business yet. So yeah.
And that's you can get a good chunk of change by just being the middleman.
Dude, there's deals where people are making $40,000 to $50,000, man. You know. And I've been fortunate enough. I know you've seen the check. Like I have it. You've seen the check. You know, I've done a $48,000 deal. You know,
and not a dollar of your money went into any of the transaction of that deal, right?
No, not a dollar of my own money. So I did pay for marketing, right? Like I paid the market to get that lead, but not a single dollar of my own money was in that actual deal.
That's awesome.
So.
That's also something to throw in is we'll talk, but I think with your course, you're going to have a lot of opportunity to create something that is really value driven, where people are going to really be able to like do something after they've completed, you know, there's a lot of courses out there where it's like a lot of people overcomplicate courses and give more information than needed because they want people to not have the opportunity to say, well, you didn't have enough information, but people get overwhelmed. And I think if you can create it with clarity, steps and show how you're doing it, like it's going to be a great course.
Yeah, dude. No, I'm super excited to be, you know, to be able to release something like that. I think it's been awesome that it's going to be forged in me over the last 5 years. You know, it's been something I've been wanting to do for a while. And so, I think that it's going to be really helpful. I mean, I think it's going to create millionaires. Yeah. I mean, like it's one of my lifelong goals. It's like, I want to create multiple millionaires not because of the status of millionaires, because freedom, they can spend more time with their kids. They can spend more time, you know, traveling, experiencing the world, experiencing life, and they can probably do more amazing stuff if they're free to go do, you know,
helping people achieve freedom is people listening, it's like helping people achieve freedom just in their own mind is a big deal.
True, man.
So, you know, the slaves that people are to their minds, like there's so many different ways that we can help people achieve freedom. And I think that's important for people to understand, you know.
Completely agree. No, completely agree, Noah, for sure.
Well, it was awesome having you on. This is definitely, as far as a podcast goes, the best value, meaning when you guys listen to this, and I think everyone listening out there is going to understand, like you gave a lot of information that's practical and that is, I guarantee you, going to help people in a drastic way, who had no clarity on what your industry is really like and what kind of possibilities there are, you know? So, also what, and I'll put in the description of the show, but just tell them kind of like all your social media handles.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, once again, Noah, thanks for having me on. I appreciate everyone that took the time out of your day to listen to, you know, my journey and to listen to Noah, you know, host this. So it's an awesome podcast. Thanks for having me on. And my handle is at Branton Schreiner, and it's BRANDTONSHRINER, Branton Schreiner. I also have YouTube. I don't have a lot of videos on there yet. I have a couple, actually. You'll have to actually look at them, Noah. I've got a couple videos on there. But it's also Branton Schreiner as well. Those are the main two platforms I'm on right now. I do have a TikTok. I don't have any content on there yet, but it'll be Branton Schreiner as well. And awesome. I also have a LinkedIn. I actually have a pretty good LinkedIn account. I'll be releasing hopefully some more videos there as well. So Branton Schreiner right now. And yeah, guys. And thank you so much, Noah, man.
Dude, I'm really glad we got to do this. Thank you for your time and just coming on. It was awesome.
Dude, definitely. Eventually, here in like a year after everything is exploded in both of our, you know, businesses and our lives, I can't wait. I can't wait to start a podcast. You're going to be on mine, man.
100%. I'm sure you will. It's a really good way to connect people.
Awesome, man. Dude, thank you so much.
All right, hey, Branton. Take care. All right. This is the No Fronts podcast, and my guest tonight is Branton Schreiner. He's a real estate investor. Cool story. Not too long ago, he was a waiter at a fine dining restaurant in Kansas City, Missouri, and I've grown to really like this dude. He's the real deal, just genuine, good people. So, and also, by the way, you guys can learn a lot from this episode. For real, if you have any interest in real estate investing, this is the episode to listen to. Gives a lot of tips, and he's super honest. He's not trying to sell anything. He's the dude. So Branton Schreiner, let's get him on the show tonight. Thanks for listening, guys. It's the No Fronts podcast. Yeah.